get to finish my message, but if it's because Jesus returns, praise the Lord. I don't want to have to finish it. It'd be a tremendous thing. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. If it troubles you about the return of Jesus, I wonder what's going on in your heart. A Christian walking with the Lord ought to be excited for the return of Jesus. We ought to be excited about Him coming back and rescuing us from this wicked world and going to be with Him forever and ever. Brothers and sisters, that ought to be encouragement to you. But maybe you're here tonight, and again, you don't know Jesus. And that would be troubling. But I want to tell you tonight, you could know Him yourself. I trust that you will do that. Let us take a Bible and show you about that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians tonight. We have started 1 Corinthians several weeks ago, and then a few special speakers and different things have kept us from continuing on with that. We're back in 1 Corinthians tonight, and so I invite you to go there. And we're just laying down some groundwork as we get into it. There's going to be a lot of things addressed in 1 Corinthians. It doesn't take long for me to tell other preachers that I'm going through 1 Corinthians. And they look at me and they say, oh boy. Because there are a lot of issues of the church that come up. Difficult issues. It'd be easy for me to shy away from 1 Corinthians and say, I'll let somebody else deal with that. But that wouldn't be doing right as your pastor to you to be able to look at it. And so you pray for me as I study these difficult things. Excuse me. Just pray that I can give you the truth of God and I can present it to you and that we can learn and grow through it together. Paul is laying down some groundwork here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And so it's important that we pay attention to this because it's going to come back later and be important for us. I would also encourage you to pray for me because for some reason I must have a frog or something down there. And so pray that I can speak the way I need to and that the Word of God would be delivered that way. Anyways, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We've already looked through a number of things. But here we see grace introduced to us, of course, in verse 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. But then notice in verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which was given you by Jesus Christ. And so Paul is thanking, he's thanking the people, or he's thanking God for the grace that God had given to them. He thanked them. He thanked God. Are you thankful for grace? Now the question is what is grace? What is grace? Some people have confused grace and mercy, saying that they're one and the same, and then some people have divided it up. But honestly, mercy and grace come from the same place, God, and He's given to us. Each one of those things has a little bit of a different thing about it. We would look at grace, and that word, grace, has the idea of a gift, something that is given to us. Grace. Grace is given when we don't deserve it. Have you ever received something that you didn't deserve? That would be grace. You've gotten something. And I'm not talking about a negative thing. You received something positive that you didn't necessarily have to work for. Okay? Grace. I didn't do anything, but God gave it anyway. There'd be grace. The difference between grace and mercy would be something that God withheld that I did deserve, usually in a negative way. I deserve maybe this punishment, and yet God gave mercy and He withheld it. Do you see the difference between the two? Grace and mercy. Grace is getting something that you don't deserve. Mercy is something withheld that I do deserve. And I ask you this evening, are you thankful for, first of all, God's mercy? Are you thankful for God's mercy? We deserve hell. We praise the Lord that He, in His mercy, as we've trusted in Him, He has provided a way for us so that He would withhold it from us. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for His mercy. But folks, I can tell you, I'm grateful for His grace. I'm grateful that not only do I not have to go to hell, but I get heaven. I've got eternal life. I've got blessings. I've got the place that Jesus Christ has. We praise the Lord for both mercy and grace. Now, Paul, in verse 4, says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. And so these folks had received grace. We believe that these people had been saved years earlier in the ministry, and they had been led to the Lord. They trusted in Christ. And since this time, of course, the church was established, and these people were living. They were trying to live for the Lord. There was a lot of influences in Corinth, a lot of negative influences. There was a lot of people. Anytime that you have a population, a big population of people, there's going to be a lot of things that present themselves as temptations and struggles, and there's going to be other religions, there's going to be other philosophies, there's going to be other ways of doing things. All of these things were brought about because Corinth was kind of a, if I could say it this way, a hopping place. There was a lot going on there, and so there was a lot of influence. And anytime, listen to this, folks, anytime that you're around people, there's a tendency to be influenced by those people, both positively and negatively. Have you ever been influenced by somebody in a negative way? Have you ever been influenced by somebody in a positive way? Well, probably yes to both of those. You spend time with people and you're going to start acting like they do. And that's why it's so important, young people, to discern very much. And by the way, it's not just young people, but some of us older people, we need to be very careful who we spend time around. Because time around, certain people, well, all people, they're going to rub off on us, and we're going to begin to act like that. That's why it's so important that we pick our friends, pick our people that we're around very carefully. Okay? And so, Paul is writing to these people because there's influence from the community on some of these Christians. There was a very negative influence, and these people they had a lot of questions, and they were writing to Paul actually asking, what about this, and what about that, and what should we do here? And so we're looking at 1 Corinthians trying to learn about the issues of the church. And so we have a big endeavor in front of us as we go through 1 Corinthians to see what God has for us, but there's some groundwork that is laid here, and he starts off with this grace. Grace, I thank so much. Listen to this, folks. I thank so much, Paul says to God. I thank God that he's given you grace. Why is that important? If you know anything about 1 Corinthians, why is it important that Paul definitely says, I'm thankful that God has given you this grace? What's going to be the first issue that Paul deals with? And by the way, it's coming in the next couple verses. Verse 10 introduces the first issue, and it's one of the biggest issues. What was the issue? Go ahead, look at verse 10. What's the issue? Divisions. People in the church dividing up. People in the church, listen, here it is, thinking that they were better than other people. Can everybody listen to this? Do you know that every single person in this room is made up of something called flesh? And do you know that there's not any flesh any worse than any other flesh? All flesh is 100% bad. All flesh. Now, I'm not talking about all people and some things. I'm not saying, and she's all bad, and he's all bad. I'm not saying necessarily that, but in and of ourselves, there is nothing good. Anything good that is inside of us is because of the grace of God. Because of the grace of God is the only way that we can do anything to please God. For without God, for without Him, we can do nothing. It's impossible. And so, Paul establishes the fact because he knows where things are going. He's going to be writing about this. He says, I'm thankful that God, and it's kind of like, listen up, Corinthians. I'm thankful that God has graced you. God has given you these things. Now, there's a couple things that I want you to see here in the next few verses before we get to verse 10, because honestly, verse 10 really begins issues addressed. And we're going to look at a lot of issues. But right away here, we need to see some of this foundation of grace. Now, in verse 4, he says that thank you that we just went over. Now, we're going to look at verses 5, 6, and 7 and 8. Four verses. I'm not going to exposit all four of these verses completely every word. I told you that in this study, we are going to be looking at what Paul is really trying to get across in a little section. Okay, it will take us a long time if we exposit and we expound on every single word, which is not a bad thing to do, by the way, but is not what has been chosen for this study. So we're going to look at the little groupings of thoughts that are given here. And so we're going to look tonight at 5, 6, 7, and 8, and something that I think will be important to you. Tonight we're looking at results of grace. So God has given you grace. He's given you something that you don't deserve. And that is eternal life. Now, just because he's given it, does that mean that everybody will partake of it? People reject it. There have been people that have rejected God's grace in the past. There are people that are rejecting it today. And there's probably going to be people that reject it in the future. It doesn't have to be, though. We can all accept it. But as you accept God's grace, here are some results of that grace. And by the way, I hope that tonight's encouraging to you because it's meant to be encouraging here in these verses. Now, verse 5, I'm going to read 5, 6, 7, and 8, and then we're going to come back and look at individually a few things tonight. He says, "So I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." God, would you help me as I share with these people? God, would you help me to give these truths that maybe in the beginning people would scratch their heads and say, "What does that mean?" Lord, would you enable me to make these verses very simple, down to earth, practical, and applicable for each one person tonight, that we can leave here walking in a greater way, appreciating the grace of God that you have given to us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Now, if you look at this, I don't know if you notice the tenses. I'm not asking you to be a Greek scholar. I'm not even asking you the tenses of the Greek words. I'm just saying, did you pick up on some phrases that sound like things that happened in the past? It seems as though there are things that are happening in the present, and then there are some things presented that will happen in the future. Did you catch that? I would like to go through not just the verses in order, but I would like to go in order of the tense. What has happened to those Christians? And by the way, again, this is about somebody that's put their faith and trust in Jesus already. What had happened in the past? Well, there's a verse that addresses the past. It's verse 6. Look at verse 6. So we're going to skip verse 5. We'll come back to that next. Verse 6 says, "Even as the testimony of Christ," and what's the next word? "Was confirmed in you." So, this is something that Paul is bringing them back of something that had already happened. Now again, this is a person who had done what? They had put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what we want to see first. Christ confirms us. Now in other religions, there's other ways in which people are said to be confirmed. Confirmation. And we're not going to be dealing with those tonight. Tonight I want to give you the biblical word of being confirmed here, what's given here. What does it mean that these people had been confirmed in Jesus? We're going to see here, my first point, grace that saves. Grace that saves. Are you thankful for the grace that God has given that can save an individual? Are you thankful for salvation? Where would you be today without confirming grace? Confirming grace. First of all, under this first point, grace that saves. Here we see a word that is used. He says in verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ. What is that? Even as the testimony of Christ. The word testimony, oftentimes in the scriptures, is rendered as witness. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, do you remember that commission? They're waiting for 50 days, Pentecost, to take place. And the Holy Spirit is going to come down and he's going to empower them to do the work that God, Jesus Christ, has called them to do. And you remember in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be, what's the word? Witnesses. Comes from the same word here of the testimony of Christ, the testimony, the witnesses. Now, in this, we see a verbal witness. Oftentimes, the word that is used here as the testimony would be a verbal witness, the ability to verbally, with your mouth, share the gospel with somebody else, a witness for him, telling somebody about Jesus. And here we see that they would be commissioned to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. But as we look at context here, I'm not convinced that it's talking about so much our witness. Again, as we look at verse 6, he says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Certainly there was a witness. I want you to think back to the time when you trusted in Jesus Christ, if you have trusted in Jesus Christ, to that time when that individual, somebody, maybe a preacher, maybe a parent, maybe a friend, maybe just on your own reading the Word of God, when you came to trust in Jesus Christ, was there a witness for you? Well, there was a witness. There was an individual that spoke. Maybe it was a scripture, maybe it was the Word of God, that was a witness, a testifying to you of God's grace. So we have a verbal witness, a verbal testimony, but here he's talking about something not so much of just verbalizing and describing this salvation. He's talking about the very salvation that had happened in their life. Salvation itself. Here I would call it in the inherent witness that comes upon me as Jesus Christ comes into my life. You realize when a person gets saved, there's a witness that comes from God through the Holy Spirit that bears witness in their hearts when the lights turn on. Have you ever tried to share the gospel with somebody and you gave them the truth? It seemed like they even understood, but the lights didn't turn on. They didn't get it yet. They didn't see the need yet. It wasn't there yet. Do you realize that at a certain point in time, God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, turns on the light in hearts and they see their need? Wait a second, I need that. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He's saying that Christ confirmed us. He showed up and turned the light on. We're talking about inherent wisdom. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11 says, and this is the record. By the way, that word record is the same word here as this witness or this testimony or this testifying. Okay? And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Now, in 1 John, he's talking about the effects, the things that have come about from God, the benefits of coming into our heart and into our life, and what happens when we receive Christ. Some of you can remember back to the time when you trusted Christ. Was there a transformation? Absolutely, there was. Now, some people get saved and they drop everything, and everybody can see the transformation. And everybody's not quite like that, but I'll tell you what, there's something that happens in every individual that gets saved, and there's a transformation. And the Word of God is different. Other Christians are different. Things happen that are amazing when a person comes to trust Christ. And by the way, that word confirmed here talks about that. The word confirm, it's really not that hard. This Greek word here, confirm, means to be made firm and sure. It's like it's solidified in your life. When a person gets saved, God confirms us. He shows himself strong. How does he do that? Again, a few examples. I mentioned the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is not always easy for everybody to understand. There's nobody in the room that every verse they read the first time understood every single thing there was to know about that verse and all the words. You understand what I'm saying, don't you? Can the Word of God be something difficult to understand sometimes? Yeah. In fact, the Word of God encourages us to be students of the Word. The Word of God encourages us that we need to study diligently the Word of God so that we are not ashamed and we can rightly divide the Word of truth. We're supposed to study and search the Scriptures daily like the Bereans. God wants us to understand the Scriptures. And by the way, although this whole message is not completely about this, God wants us to study the Scriptures. Are you studying the Scriptures? On your own, on a daily basis, are you opening it up and are you tearing it apart? Not physically, but spiritually, are you looking and studying the words and studying the context and studying the history and looking? What is God trying to tell me through this? And when we don't understand, we pray and say, God, would you illumine my heart? Would you show me? Would you allow me to understand this passage? I believe with all my heart, when we're saved, God gives an individual an ability to be able to discern the Scriptures as we seek and as we search with all of our hearts. Say, preacher, I don't understand anything when I read the Bible. My first question is, have you received the grace of God for salvation? Now, if you have a hard time understanding some passage, I'm not asking you to doubt your salvation. Okay? Understanding Scripture does not determine a person's salvation. But listen, it is a byproduct. When a person gets saved, God's going to give them the Holy Spirit to understand the Word of God. And you know what that does in the hearts and lives of a person? It confirms, it makes it rock solid what God has done in a person's heart and life. It's a blessing when you read the Word of God and all of a sudden He turns the lights on and it makes sense. That's amazing. Praise the Lord for that preacher, that evangelist, that I read that verse 10 times and I couldn't understand it, and there it came alive. Brother, it wasn't because of some great preacher. It was because of the Holy Spirit working in your heart, and He confirmed that salvation right there. You're saved. I praise the Lord that God has given to us an ability to understand the Word of God. You know, there's phrases in the Bible that talk about the Spirit bearing witness in our hearts. You know, when a person is saved, He confirms that. And it doesn't mean it makes the salvation real, but we see it when the Holy Spirit knocks on the door of our hearts and says, Sean, you know you ought not do that. You know that an unsaved person doesn't have that. Now, they might have a conscience, but we're not talking conscience, Holy Spirit, two different things. A conscience might knock on your door because you might get in trouble. The Holy Spirit knocks on your door because it doesn't please God. There's completely two different things there that we need to understand. When we have the Word of God confirmed in our hearts and the Word of God confirmed in our lives, you know what the Holy Spirit's going to do? And He does this to help confirm. He's going to knock on our door and He's going to say, listen. He's going to knock and say, Sean, you know that you ought to confess that sin. You ought to just stop doing that. Or you ought to do this. So many times in my life as a saved individual, God has used His Word to show me what I ought to do, and the Holy Spirit is right there knocking and saying, you know what, you ought to do this. You know what you can do? It doesn't mean that you're saved, but I'll tell you what, it's a blessing when we see that because we say that's a characteristic of a saved person. I'm so grateful. Even, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't like necessarily being convicted by the Word of God. It's not a fun process. You know what I'm talking about? When the Holy Spirit puts something on your heart and your life right there, and it's like, ugh. It's not fun. But I tell you what, I praise the Lord. It's a blessing to me. Not because I live my life, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven. No, it's a blessing to me because I say, you know what? The Holy Spirit doesn't do that to an unsaved person. There's confirmation there. It is a blessing. We praise the Lord that He make sure that salvation, that grace that He gives us. So we have bearing of the Holy Spirit, we have conviction. We could talk for a long time about the fruits of the Spirit. You know, when a person gets saved, he confirms in our hearts through love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You go through the fruits of the Spirit. You know what? A person that's not saved can't have the fruits of the Spirit. They bear fruit. We could talk about the spiritual gifts, which in 1 Corinthians, he's going to get into here in just a little bit. What we want to see here is that Christ confirms in us, in the past, what He has done for us in His life. Question for you as we move on. Are you thankful for your salvation? Are you thankful for what God has given to you through the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and conviction, and bearing witness in our hearts and lives? Are you thankful for that confirmation? Praise the Lord that He establishes that in our hearts, and we can say, I'm so grateful that I've trusted in Jesus Christ and I have that salvation now. He has made me one of His. And I say to you tonight, if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, you can have these things. What a blessing that it is to have the confirmation of Jesus Christ. Grace that saves, we praise the Lord. But I want to tell you something, that Jesus Christ did not come just to this earth just to save us and leave us and go back to heaven to be with His Father. You know that Jesus came not only to save us, but to give us grace to, number two, supply us. To supply us with so many things that we need in life. Let's go back to verse 5. So we looked at verse 6, which something happened in the past. Something confirmed with us in the past. Now we look at something that is actually being done right now in the present. We see in verse 5, he says that in everything, and it's referring to this grace, that in everything ye are enriched by Him in two ways. Two ways we're enriched. Number one, actually three ways, but in this verse 2, he says, enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Second of all, we see Christ enriching us. Grace that supplies. Grace that saves, but grace that supplies. Two different ways in this verse. Number one, in all utterance. Utterance, this is another word for speech. And according to what we see here in context, probably it's going to be the telling of God's goodness and truth to other people. Now, in 1 Corinthians, we're going to see, there's a lot of talk going to be on the spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, and some mistakes that they were making with interpreting those things. But God blesses us or graces us not only with our salvation, but also an ability to share truth with other people, to encourage other brothers and sisters, to edify one another. Do you realize, everybody listen, if you're saved here tonight, God has blessed you with a grace, a gift specifically to you, so that you can minister to other people in this church. The Bible calls this a body, the body of Christ. It's kind of like our physical bodies. He's blessed me with muscles that pull and muscles that push. He's blessed me with things that hold together my bones and things that hold together my bones and my muscles. And He's equipped my body to work together so that I can do what you see me doing right now. God has equipped our body with things, gifts. And we're going to talk about gifts here in just a little bit. But in these gifts, a lot of times they're categorized under a couple categories. And some of them were gifts of speech and gifts of knowledge. And here he pulls two of them out. And the first one was the gift of, or in all utterance, in all speech. And in the telling of God's truth. Now, this could be applied maybe in sharing the gospel testimony, and I think it has a lot to do with that, but it also could just be in edifying and encouraging one another in the things of the Lord. But the point that is mentioned here, the point that we need to understand is that God has graced us with this. God has supplied us with this. Let's get really practical. There's two things that we want to look at in practicality. Number one is who gets the credit when we have those good words to tell other people. Have you ever been, you know, with somebody and you're talking through and all of a sudden you don't know how to help a certain person and their struggles they're going through, and then all of a sudden you get something in your mind and you tell them those good words and you walk away and it really encouraged them and you walk away and say, boy, I'm really good with my words. I really have a way with counseling people. Wow, I'm good. I've been to tell the pastor that I'm going to sign up for being a counselor, you know, because I'm really, one of the first things that he wants to point out here is you, because this is going to come down the pike here real soon. I don't believe, he's not dealing with it yet, but he's going to. He says, I'm thanking God for the graces that supply you with your words. You realize that when we're talking with people, it's only by the grace of God. I have been amazed sometimes. By the way, as a pastor, I wish I was a better counselor, but there's some times when I'm sitting back there sweating because I'm thinking, Lord, help me. You know how many times I've been back there in my office and somebody has come for counsel with things, and while they're talking, I'm praying. And I'm saying, God, I need your strength. I need your grace. I need your words because I don't know what to say. You know how I could tell you countless times where I had no clue what to say. And the time came, and their mouth stopped, and my mouth had to open. And what came out was not my words. Oh yeah, I said it. I was a mouthpiece, but it was God, and I was amazed when I got done. Absolutely amazed. There's two reasons why Paul brings it out, and what we need to see here in practicality. Number one, folks, is anything that we say, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. It's not because you are so smart and because you have so many good words. It's because it's of the grace of God. God is the one that gives the utterance. But let's look at a second thing. Maybe you're on the other side of things and you're fearful and you say, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to help that neighbor. I don't know what to say to my relative. I don't know what to say to that coworker. God, I can't say anything. I can't be the witness. I'm going to have to bring them to church so that they can talk to pastor. I want to tell you something. You don't need to bring them to pastor. I'm happy. But I'll tell you what. God has given you already the ability so that you can utter the words that you need to say. And that's a blessing. Some of you might be scared to death to witness to somebody else because you don't know what you'll say. Try it, and God will give you the words. I still tell this, the instance because it was, I've had it happen 100 times over, but I still remember that time when and I can't remember because there was a certain amount of time when both Frank and Margaret Gambino had some funerals in their family, and I was over at the Catholic Church several times because of some of these. And so I can't tell you if it was Frank's dad or if it was Margaret's. I can't remember which one it was, her mother, but I remember one time that I was there, and they, Frank and Margaret, had been praying for a certain, I think it was a cousin, that didn't know Jesus. And I didn't know this person from Adam, but I got in there, and I met this relative. And I'll just be honest with you, that relative to me intimidated me. But I knew that Frank and Margaret were praying for that individual to get saved. And I knew that they had a little bit of an expectation in hopes that I would talk to this person. So the pressure was on. And I'll tell you, even though you think preachers know everything to say and have a sentence for everything, I'll tell you what, I didn't know what to say. And I didn't know what to do. And I'll admit to you, I was scared. We went into the little reception afterwards, and he sat down. And I didn't want to go sit down next to him because I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what common bond. I had never spoken to him at all. I was like, how am I going to just start witnessing to him? But I asked the Lord, I said, God, I'm going to need your words. I'm going to need to know what to say. And by God's grace, and it wasn't a work of mine. I went and sat down. And I can't remember the exact moment, but I remember just praying something like this, God, I need your words. And the next moment, I opened my mouth and I began to talk. I want to tell you something. Those words were not premeditated. I didn't have them scripted. I didn't have notes. I didn't look down. I didn't know what to say. But God helped me to open a relationship and a conversation with him. He found some common ground that we had. He tied us together. He linked us together. And I was able to easily move right from there into the gospel. And I can't remember how much of the gospel or how everything we went in, but I got to do it. I wish I could tell you to this day that he trusted Christ. I don't know if he knows the Lord. I don't believe it happened there because there was no transaction. There was nothing that took place. But I can tell you something. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just telling you what God can do for you because there was nothing of me. That's a work of God, not me. All I had to do was open my mouth, bang, and God supplied the words. You know what this is saying here? This verse right here is saying that according to grace, God will give you the words that you need to encourage other people, to witness to other people. It might not be an unsaved person. It might be a Christian right here. And you might not know what to say, but you don't have to worry about that because God has supplied all of the utterings that you need. It's there. That's a part of grace. And so, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. You don't have to be afraid of what you're going to say at the door. You don't have to be. I'm afraid of the time, 100% of the time. I'll just be honest with you. I am afraid every time I go to the door and knock on it that I don't know what to say. But every single time, God gives the words. Every time, He's never, ever, ever left me. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, that according to grace, He not only saves you, but He supplies you with everything that you need. And the first thing that He supplies you with is His words. He said, I don't know what I'll tell Mrs. So-and-so in the church that's struggling. I've never lost a relative like that. I don't know what to say. Try it out. Walk up. Open your mouth. And I don't mean to say that, flippantly. But God, if you pray for it and ask God to give it to you, He's going to deliver. How do I know? Because it says right here in that verse. Did you read it? He says, verse 5, that in everything ye are enriched. That's an interesting word there. You're enriched. You know what enrichment is, right? It's above, it's beyond, it's richness, it's greatness. He's going to bless you with those words. In fact, do you realize that that's the kind of people God loves to use? Oh, we're going to see it here later in 1 Corinthians. He is setting the stage here, folks, because there was a lot of people that were rocking around saying, boy, I'm pretty good at this. And he says, no, I gave it to you. But to those weak people, he says, I will give it to you. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. Don't be afraid at what you can't say, because God will be your mouth. Remember Moses? What did Moses say when he said, God says, I want you to go and rescue my people? What did Moses say? I can't. I can't do it. And you know what? Moses was right. You can't. But he says, I'll be with you. Moses, I'll be with you. I want to ask you a question. Would you trust God enough to open your mouth? Try it out. You know, some of the scariest people that I had no clue what to say, God pulled through. God pulled through. He'll give you the words because He tells you it's a part of the grace that you received when you got saved. It's part of the package. It's a package deal. You've got it. Open your mouth. Try it out. God is good. God is good. So He enriches us. He supplies us. He says in all utterance. But it's more than an utterance. And by the way, there's several passages of Scripture where even Paul himself prays for that utterance. God, would you help me? Would you give me boldness? He, in Ephesians 6:19, says that I would open my mouth boldly. Do you think God would answer that request for Paul? Absolutely He would. Because this is according to his name, His will. He will give you that. You can count on it 100%. 100%, He's going to take care of it. But He says more than just in words, in knowledge. This is the Greek word gnosis, in everything that we need to know how to speak effectively for the Lord. God will give us that knowledge as well. Not just the word, but the knowledge. You say, I don't know enough. I don't know. I'm not trained enough and studied enough. Everybody listen to this. If God has led you to trust in Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, and He has led you and you've trusted in Him, you've gotten saved, then you have the knowledge to lead somebody else to the Lord. There's no fancy words. There's no fancy techniques. There are things that we need to know and we can do, but God has promised to give you the knowledge that you need to do His work. He will. He promises it right here. He says, I'll give you the knowledge. in all knowledge, he says, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance, but in all knowledge. I want to tell you something. You feel like you don't know. And that's probably a good place to be. One of the biggest problems with the people here at Corinth is that they thought that they did know. You realize two of the biggest things that get in the way of a church being effective in their community is a church that thinks that they know everything and they have the ability to say everything. But people that say, God, I don't know, and I don't know what to say. God says, there's my man. There's my lady. There's the person that can do it because I don't want them to get in the way. I want to tell you something. God can give you that knowledge. He can give you that understanding. He can give you those words to do what he's called you to do. And I'll tell you, it's not just in this, in giving people the gospel. It's right here in edification and helping people out. Just be, you know what, sometimes all that you need to be is that listening ear to somebody. Sometimes all it takes is just to be that person that will go up and you heard the prayer request and all you need to say is, I don't know about that, but I'll pray for you. I want to tell you something, some of the most powerful words that you can give to anybody, but I'll pray for you. I don't know, but God does. I'm going to pray for you. I'll tell you something, it's time that we stop looking at who we are or who we are not and trusting God for knowledge and for words. And that's what he tells us. Now, he's not belittling studying of scriptures and knowing things. He's not, Paul is not breeding something here that says, listen, just be wild with the word of God and just, you know, you don't need to study, you don't need to think, you don't need to pray about it, just get up there and start. God's not talking about that, okay? I don't think there would be much blessing upon this preacher if I just got up and I'm claiming these verses out of 1 Corinthians and so I'm not going to pray, I'm not going to think, pray, study, or do anything. I'm just going to get up and open my mouth. I'll tell you what, you'd probably all leave because I don't have anything good to say of myself. But I'll tell you what, somebody that's relying upon God and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is going to be the truth. And can I say this, not only in the office, but you know how many times God has led me to give some things while I'm preaching that are not in my notes, that have been absolutely inspired by him for me to give to you. And I am amazed sometimes when I walk away and I say, where did that come from? That is not the product of somebody that's just being wild and not studying. I'll tell you what, it's God showing up. But here's why I tell you that. That wasn't a promise just given to a pastor or a preacher. That was a promise given to a wild group of Corinthian people there that had some issues. That ought to be encouraging to you. Not that you're wild and crazy. I think because of time we're going to stop here. Because there's more that God gives in grace. And we'll have to see how the Lord leads to give. He introduces in all gifts as well. Down in verse 7 and 8. Well, I guess I better stop or I'm going to keep going. So we'll see how the Lord leads. But as we close, are you thankful for God's grace? Grace that saved you. Grace that came in and confirmed it in your heart. Are you thankful for the benefits of salvation? Grace that not only saves, but that supplies. Supplies with the words when we need them. Supplies with the knowledge when we don't have it. Praise the Lord for a good God that's given to us amazing grace. It's going to be super important that we understand that everything that we have through grace comes from God. Because what we're about to see, there's going to be some attacks. And I'll tell you, it wasn't just attacks on the Corinthian people. There's going to be some attacks on faith. Because we're going to have to step back and say, what are we doing here? Are we doing this right? And there's going to be some of us maybe that will be confronted with, maybe I've not been living by grace. And I've been living too much of maybe who I am, or maybe on the opposite side of what I'm not. In either case, God is the one that's responsible. And God can use you, however. But it's Him, not us. Not you. Father, would you help us? Thank you so much for your grace. I pray that you would help us to get this as we begin to go through 1 Corinthians, to recognize that we're not some special people, but it's because of the special giftings that you have given to us. God, thank you. Thank you. Lord, in our weakness, help us to claim your grace, that you can use us to do great and mighty things which we know not. Lord, this week, would you give us the words with our neighbors, with our co-workers, with our acquaintances, with the people that we meet maybe for the first time. God, would you help us to be bold and just simply open the mouth and let the words come out. Give us the knowledge that we need, how to help people. God, that we would totally rest and trust in you to do that impossible work. God, would you lead us? Would you guide us? Would you be that guide until death? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.